I don't know how strong my voice is going to be, so you have to listen real good, I guess. Proverbs chapter 3. And if you've got something that you can stick in there, we'll be in Proverbs two or three times today. And I want to read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now there are four things here that Solomon writes in these two verses. He says to trust in the Lord. We're to trust. Okay, I can't write left-handed, so you're going to have to bear with the sound for just a second. To trust, to lean not, to acknowledge, and that He will direct our path. And the first two are tied together. Trust in the Lord, lean not into thine own understanding. Now, I realize it's hard for us to trust in someone we've never seen with our eyes, someone we've never spoken to audibly the way I'm speaking with you this morning, somebody that you've never embraced in a hug, you know, you've never felt, you've never heard with an audible voice. So God, in His infinite wisdom, realizes this. And, you know, there's something special about the dispensation of grace in which we live. It is, you look back before the dispensation of grace and what God expected of people, and you look into the future when the dispensation of grace ends and what God expects of people, and it's different than what He expects of us today. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Today, God is not looking for your works. God is looking for your faith. He is wanting your faith in Him. He wants you to trust in Him. In times past, God not only wanted their faith, He wanted their works. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. But Noah built an ark. And had Noah not built an ark, he would have drowned just like everybody else. You see, God expected some works out of people in times past. And in the future, God's going to expect works out of those people. Those that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But in the dispensation of the grace of God in which we live today, God is looking for your faith, your trust in His Son and what He did for you on Calvary. That's what pleases God today. Throw something, like I said, there in Proverbs, and look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1. Notice what it says there in verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, the invisible things, the things you cannot see. Just as I said, we're trusting in someone we've never seen. But look what the Bible says. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what? They're clearly seen, aren't they? How? Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Although you cannot physically look at God Almighty and see Him, the Bible says that we are without excuse because the things that are invisible, the things we cannot see, are clearly made visible to us by the things that we can see. In other words, it's called common sense, folks. I can go out here and I can see the trees, I can see the birds, I can see the ocean, I can see the planets in their orbit, I can see the sun out there, the moon, I can see all these things that are visible, And all of these things that are visible tell me, and they all speak to the same thing, there is a supreme God in heaven that created these things. And anybody or any system or any education or anything else that tells you any difference is a lie. God Almighty created the heavens and the earth. He is, He always has been, He always will be, and He is clearly seen in His creation. We are without excuse. So although we trust in someone we've never seen, we can clearly see Him through His creation. We not only trust in things that we haven't seen, we can speak to Him through prayer. He has given us prayer so that we can speak to Him. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you don't have to turn there, it says we're to pray without ceasing. You see, we can talk to God. Now, we don't hear Him in an audible voice speak back to us, but we can speak to Him through prayer. We have never embraced God in a hug, but listen, there's times in your life when people, friends, family, brothers and sisters in Christ have come up to you in your time of need, and they have embraced you, they have hugged you, they have given you that encouragement that you need to get through whatever it is you're going through, and that is the body of Christ, that is God Almighty allowing His creation to be felt in your life. We can't see Him, we can't touch Him, but yet we can through His creation. We are without excuse. Not only can we speak to Him, we can't hear Him audibly speaking to us, but yet we can. This morning, right now, I'm not God Almighty, but yet you are hearing God speak to you through the preaching of His Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. God speaks to us through His Word and through preachers. We trust in the Lord. We trust in someone we've never seen, and yet we see every day through His creation. We trust in the Lord. We hear it through the preaching of His Word. We see it in His creation. We feel it in the embrace of a loved one. All of these things are God speaking to His creation, His individuals, showing them that He is real. Trust in Him with all thine heart. How do we trust in Him? Well, we trust in Him with our soul. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, excuse me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereof I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Watch this now. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." The Apostle Paul says, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." That word persuaded means after much thought, after giving it much consideration, Paul said, "I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." What did Paul commit to God? What did he commit to Him? He committed his soul. So he says, look, Paul speaking here had a little bit more to stand on than what we do. Okay? Paul was called up to the third heaven. Paul seen the Lord and spoke to Him the way I'm speaking to you. He was given revelation. So Paul knew who he had believed in. And he was persuaded. But listen, listen, folks. I know in whom I have believed. And it's written down in the Word of God. And I am persuaded. I don't care, as the saying goes, come hell or high water. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What did I commit to Him? Committed my soul. On a Sunday night at Calvary Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina, you've heard my testimony. I knelt down at the front and I committed my soul to Him. Now listen, I understand that everybody's salvation experience is different. Yours is not going to be the way mine was. Mine not the way yours was. You may not have felt anything. You may have just, it may have just been a realization to you. I know I'm saved. I was lost. I'm saved. But on that Sunday night, whenever I got saved, it was like the biggest, filthiest, dirtiest weight you could imagine was on my soul. And when I trusted Him that night, it was like it was lifted off of me and I was light as a feather, felt like I could have jumped through the roof. I was ready to go to heaven that night the way that I felt. And folks, you know, they can say whatever they want about it. I know in whom I have believed. You see, that night I was sealed. The Holy Spirit of God came into my life and sealed me until the day of redemption. And I have not doubted it since. I know I'm saved. I don't feel like it. Now that feeling that I had that night, I have not had since. It's like the weight of sin in the world began to pile back up on me again. And I begin to get under those things of my flesh. But that night, for just a few moments, I think I experienced and felt what it was going to be like to be in heaven. I'm telling you folks, it was a joyous experience for me. I was saved. And it was real. It wasn't something I imagined. It was real. And I know in whom I have believed. What about you? Are you here this morning and you don't have that? You don't know in whom you've believed? Can you say, could you stand up and give a testimony right now if I called on you and say, I was saved on such and such a date at such and such a time? Maybe you don't know the date or the time, but you know where you were at. I was saved at work. I was saved at home. I was laying in my bed one night. Or I was saved driving down the road in my car. Where is your place in time where you become a member of the body of Christ? I know in whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him, my soul, against that day. Can you say that? Can you say that with honesty? Are you saved this morning? Search your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We trust Him with our soul, but not only that, we trust Him with our need. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Excuse me. In verse 18. Philippians 4, 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He says that He will supply all their need. Now, He didn't say He'd supply their wants or their desires. He said He'd supply their needs. This has to do with them supporting the work of the ministry. And listen, this church has a ministry. God will supply the needs of this church to fulfill the ministry that this church has. He wants you to give. God wants you to give. It will be a sweet-smelling odor unto Him when you give, because you're supporting the ministry. He wants you to give. But listen, if you don't, somebody else will, because God will supply the need so this church can go on and this ministry can go forth preaching the Word of God rightly divided, showing people how to be saved. If you give, it's a sweet-smelling odor to God and you will receive a reward for it. But if you don't, somebody will. God will make sure it happens. He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory, so that this ministry will go on. But not just the needs of this church. He will supply your needs if you will trust in Him. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now, your needs are different than your wants. Paul said, having food and raiment, be content. He said, if a man not work, neither should he eat. Now, God didn't say, trust me, get saved, and do nothing. God will supply your needs by giving you the strength and the health to get up tomorrow morning or whenever you go to work and go to work and provide for your family. Paul so told Timothy, if a man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God will supply your needs through your work. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're not to just get saved and sit around. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 28. How does he supply those needs? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. How do we do it? God gives us the strength to get up and go to work. We go to work and do that thing which is good. We labor with our hands. So that when there is a brother or sister in Christ that has a need, we're able to supply that need. In this church, I've seen it do it time and time again. Come together, take up an offering for somebody that has a need. That's what he's talking about. That's how God supplies our needs. He's not going to miraculously send manna down from heaven to your house so you'll have something to eat. But He will miraculously put it on the heart of a believer to fix you a meal and take it to your house when you need something to eat. That's how God works. He works through His believers. God will supply your need if you trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We trust Him for our spiritual needs. We trust Him with our soul. We trust Him for our physical needs. But we don't just sit around idly doing nothing. We go to work so that when the time comes, we can help provide for those that need. And so that when the time comes and we have a need, they can provide for us. That's how it works. The second thing, he says, lean not. Now that means to support oneself. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I told you to stick something in Proverbs. Look back there with me in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Lean not into thine own understanding. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You see, you can justify anything to yourself. You can make it clean. You can rationalize it, make it right in your own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. He knows your spirit. He knows why you do what you do. You see, these two go together. You trust in the Lord, you lean not into thine own understanding. You don't rationalize and make things right in your own mind so that you don't have to trust the Lord. You trust the Lord, and you lean not into thine own understanding. Look down in verse 25, Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, what way seems right unto man? Is it sin? Does sin seem right to man? Does it seem right for you to go out and to rob a store and take that money from somebody? No, that doesn't seem right. We have laws against those things. We have a code by which our society operates. It's called the law. And when you break the law, you go to jail or you pay for your deeds. Those ways don't seem right to man. Even sinful those that are not saved know better than to do those things. What seems right to man? To do good. That seems right to man. And so man begins to rationalize it in his own mind. He begins to do what he says don't do there in verse 2. All the ways of a man are right, are clean in his own eyes. Man begins to think about this thing and say, you know what? If I do good, God will accept me. That's what seems right. If I will live a life that is righteous and I don't sin and I help my neighbor and I volunteer at the school and I volunteer at the church and I give money to the homeless, that guy that's standing there in front of Walmart, I roll my window down and give him $10 so he can go get him something to eat. Boy, that makes me feel good. I've really done something. And we begin to justify these things in our own eyes and begin to tell ourselves that what we're doing is good and just. These are the things that seem right in the eyes of man. That's the way of religion. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof, the ways of death, that way is the way of religion. That's what religion teaches you, folks. That's what Catholicism teaches you. That's what mainstream Protestantism teaches you, is that if you will do good, if you will be good, if you will quit doing all these things, God will accept you because of your merits. That's leaning into your own understanding. Lean not into your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. All of that stuff will do nothing but send you to hell if that's what you're trusting in for your salvation. If you're here this morning and you're thinking because you're here at Charity Bible Church, a grace-believing, grace-preaching church, and you're sitting here this morning under that teaching, God's going to accept me because I'm in a grace church, He won't do it. He'll send you to hell because you've rejected what His Son did for you. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, and that way is leaning unto your own understanding and not trusting in the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not trusting the Lord, then you're leaning to your own understanding. And the end thereof is the way of death. Ephesians chapter 2, don't turn there, but Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That doesn't seem right to man. That doesn't seem right. It does not seem right for somebody to, without merit, give you something like eternal life for doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't have to do anything. If I had $1 million and I said, "Brother Winston, I've got $1 million. It's yours." You know what he's going to think? What's the catch? What have I got to do? You don't get anything free in this life. There's a catch. There's always a catch. I got to do something. What I got to do to get that money? God said, "Brother Winston, I've got eternal life. No catch. All you got to do is receive it." You can't get another deal like that. Time and eternity. Salvation is a free gift. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That don't seem right to man. Man says there's got to be a catch. God said no catch. Just accept it. Trust Him. Give Him your faith. That's all He wants, is your faith. Romans chapter 3. Stick something there in Proverbs and look with me in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to hurry. Verse 20, the Bible says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Skip down to verse 28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Skip over to chapter 4 and verse 5. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Folks, you can't get any clearer than that. Not by works, by faith. Not by the law, by faith. Not by your deeds, not by leaning into your own understanding, not by propping yourself up with your religion, but by faith. That's how He will save you this morning, if you're here and you're lost. If you're here and you're saved, that's how He saved you before. By faith, not by works. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. I'm going to move on quickly. The third thing is to acknowledge Him. Back in Proverbs, and hold Romans there, and look back in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. Give me a second here. I've got to get another cough drop out. Proverbs chapter 15. To acknowledge means to seek advice or an answer. How do we seek advice or an answer from God? Prayer. We pray. We trust in the Lord. We don't lean into our own understanding. We acknowledge Him. We pray. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. God delights in your prayers. He loves to hear from you. How many of you this week have spoke to the Lord? How many of you this week have spoke to the Lord in prayer? And you don't have to show me your hands. I'm not going to do that. How many this morning, outside of the prayer that we did here, have spoke to the Lord? How do you expect to have a relationship with Him if you never acknowledge His existence? You need to pray, folks. That is the most neglected part of my life, my spiritual life, is prayer. I'm honest with you. I pray in the mornings. I'll pray during the day when I'm going down the road in my route truck. I'll pray at night. But a lot of times, I wonder how far up those prayers go. A lot of times it becomes ceremonial, and it's not from the heart. We acknowledge Him by prayer. He delights in hearing from us. How many relationships do you have in this life where you don't speak with that person? Very few, if any. It's not a relationship if you're not speaking with Him, if you're not communicating. We need to communicate with Him. We need to acknowledge Him that He is there. Look in verse 29. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. God hears you speak. Now listen, I know you're not righteous in your own flesh. I'm not. But in Jesus Christ, I am as righteous as God. I have His righteousness. That's what saves me, not my own. So then I am a righteous person. You are looking at a person that is righteous. Not because I go out of here and don't sin or do anything wrong, but I'm righteous because of Jesus Christ. And so God hears my prayers. He delights in my prayers, but not just mine. If you're here this morning and you're saved, God delights in your prayers. Acknowledge Him in your life. If you're here and you're lost, your prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. God does not hear your prayers if you're lost. He delights in the prayers of the righteous. There is one prayer that God will hear from you if you're lost. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the prayer of the lost that God hears. If you're here this morning and you're lost, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," doesn't say might be saved, doesn't say can be saved, says shall be saved. Listen, that's a promise from God. If you're here and you're lost, are you listening to me? If you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you right now are one heartbeat, one breath away from hell. The next breath you take could be your last. And before your dead body hits the floor, your soul will be in eternity. That's serious, folks. That's nothing to fool around with. It's a very serious thing. We tend to get caught up in this life and don't realize that this life is temporal. It's going to end. I don't care if you live to be 100 years old. You're going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. And eternity starts after that. Forever. There's no end to it. Where are you going to spend it? Where are you going to spend eternity? In the presence of God Almighty doing His will, or in a hell made for the devil and his angels? Where is your soul going to spend eternity? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved this morning. God promises you that by simply calling on His name. You don't have to do anything. Don't have to quit anything. Don't have to come down here. You don't have to jump up and shout and do anything. You just simply call on Him. Lord, I'm lost. That Sunday night, when I knelt down there, I came down to the front, and He didn't say, "Kevin, repeat after me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to be saved." Was no reciting this prayer. He didn't say, "Kevin, I need you to come up here and stand on this chair and shout so everybody can hear you that you're a sinner and you want to be saved." He didn't say, "Kevin, I'm going to take you back here and dunk you in this tank and baptize you so you can be saved." I knelt down there and He said, "Kevin, have you ever been saved?" And I said, "I don't think so." And He said, "If you don't know you're saved, you're lost." And I said, "I'm lost." And when I acknowledged that, bam, just like that, I was saved and that weight was gone. I'm lost. Say it this morning. If you're here and you're lost, say it to God. Acknowledge it. I'm lost. I want to be saved. And He'll save you right now just like He saved me. Acknowledge it. And He'll direct your path. Salvation is that simple. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy way acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. Would you stand with me? If you're here this morning and you're lost, as we're praying right now, tell God, tell Him, "I'm lost. I want to be saved." And He'll save you as we pray. I promise you, if you will acknowledge it right now, He'll save you. And when it happens, tell somebody so that they can rejoice with you. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the promises we find in Your Word, Lord. And we understand, Lord, that we're not worthy of Your salvation. But we know that You loved us. And You loved us so that You gave Your only begotten Son to die for us. And He came into this world and took our sin so that we could be saved. And Lord, we just pray now, if there's one here that's dealing with this, they've never trusted You as their Lord and Savior, that right now they would see how simple it is. There's nothing hard about it, Lord. We realize that, and we just pray that Your Holy Spirit would put it on their heart that they would realize that. Show them, Lord, that all they've got to do is trust You and they'll be saved. Whatever's accomplished, Lord, we'll give You the praise for it. It's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You're at liberty to go.